Get ready to be mesmerized. Get ready to be entertained. Get ready to be informed. And most of all, get ready to listen. The latest sports news, great interviews, and the best coverage from around the nation's capital. It's Listen In with KNN, the sports sound of the district, right now on AM 1340 and 96.9 FM, Fox Sports Radio. Here's your host, Kelsey Nicole Nelson.
As you prepare for the end of your work week, it's time to get ready for an all-new edition of Listen In with KNN. Now, today's Thursday edition is dedicated to the old Georgetown faithful. That's right, Hoya Saxa. Joining me today is Georgetown University's former men's basketball star, Mike Sweeney. And with that, it means it's time to sit back, relax, and get ready to listen in and follow along with the conversation using hashtag ListenInWithKNN.
Time to recognize those individuals that are doing good in the community and making a difference in the sports world. Without further ado, Kelsey presents this week's Do Good Sportsperson Award nominee.
Now, as I like to start every show, it's time for Kelsey's Do Good Athlete of the Week. And this week, I'm staying in Washington as I would like to honor today the one and only Jonathan Allen of the Washington Redskins. Now, he was awarded with this award for teaming up with Russell Knauss of the MLS team DC United here in DC and the sports drink company KRA to help Beacon House, which provides after-school educational and youth development programs. Now, Allen spent time with the kids there and donated sports equipment just in time for the holidays. I thought it was wonderful. You know, we sometimes take for granted these different organizations and groups. We always say, you know, go play sports. But sometimes we take for granted that they don't always have quality or even sports equipment. So congratulations and thanks to Jonathan Allen for taking time to give back to, you know, groups here in this area. I think it's great when players not only play for a team, but give back to that area because, you know, all these fans are rooting for you. But let's make sure we help one another. There is and always has been good in mankind, but we must reach out and help one another. That'll be Kelsey's message for the day. Together and leaving no one behind, I think we can all move forward. The Washington Redskins players this week have continued to set that standard. And I hope they haven't only set the standard for NFL players, but I'm talking about for all professional leagues. So job well done to Washington, and it's now time for a quick commercial break, and we will be right back.
Jerry's Burger Spot has all your Friday night tailgating favorites. From their never-frozen burger, fresh-cut fries, ice cream, and milkshakes, Jerry's Burger Spot offers the best lunch. And if you desire a fresh handmade burger or some delicious ice cream like Mom used to make, stop by Jerry's Burger Spot at 3815 Jefferson Park Road, Prince George, Virginia, right off 36 near Fort Lee. Jerry's Burger Spot. Remember when...
Welcome back to Listen In with KNN, the sports sound of the district and beyond. It's now time to welcome today's special guest to the show. So without further ado, I'd like to welcome the one and only Mr. Mike Sweeney. Mike, how are you?
I'm doing pretty awesome. How about you guys?
I'm wonderful. You see how the excitement went up in my voice because you're a fellow Hoya and I get to have you on my show, so I'm excited.
Yes, yes, I'm excited. I'm honored to be here. So let's get this ball rolling.
All right, let's get it rolling. So with that, if you don't mind, I'm going to quickly run down through your brief background, and then we'll get into some questions about you, and then we'll kick it off into the show. Sound good?
Sounds great.
All right, cool. The Oxon Hill High School graduate Mike Sweeney was the 9th overall pick in one of the best draft classes of all time after a dominant collegiate career at Georgetown University. Included in his draft class was the King, LeBron James, and Dwayne Wade. At Georgetown University, he averaged 22.8 points, 10.4 rebounds, 3.2 blocks, and 1.5 steals, while shooting 54.7% from the field as a junior. He played 4 seasons in the NBA, 2 with the Knicks, and 2 with the Chicago Bulls. During his 4-year NBA career, he averaged 6.5 points and 4.5 rebounds in just 15.5 minutes per game, while shooting 48.5% from the field. So, Mike, I mean, you're a local DMV native yourself. Tell me a little bit about how growing up in the DMV shaped your basketball career.
Oh, it shaped it pretty good because I think, you know, people always talk about the New York cities and the Chicago's and the L.A.'s, but in my opinion, I always think that DC, you know, DC area always produces some of the best talent that comes from this area. So,
I mean, it's a basketball town.
Yeah, it's a basketball town. So, you know, I think for this, I think, you know, as I say, I think that just kind of helped me. And I just, you know, I played against some of the best players, you know, in this area. And I think it just helped me, you know, groom me and gave me a lot of confidence. You know, a lot of guys that I played against are, you know, top guys overseas, NBA guys, some guys had great college careers, and, you know, some guys that didn't make it could have made it, you know, for, you know, could have been got in trouble or whatever reasons. But I just think the talent level was very, very high around here.
Tell me, I mean, you talk about playing against some of the best. Tell me, who were some of your favorite matchups, you know, growing up that you played against?
I think one of my favorite ones is obviously DeMar Johnson. We never really guarded each other, but just, you know, when our teams matched up in AAU or things like that, that was a good off. You know, DeMar Johnson was like, you know, he was the number one player in the country. And you know, just matching up against him and trying to do well against his team, you know, because I know that people will be watching. I feel like they'll give me a chance to, you know, bring some light to my name. So I think that was one of my favorite matchups.
I can understand why. And as you said, you played against one of the best. So, I mean, it really talks about why you were so good, of course, because, I mean, you had that growing up. And, I mean, you stayed in the basketball scene. Most recently, I mean, you were playing for Ice Cube's Big Three League. So tell me a little bit about the team you played for and then your overall experience with this league.
Actually, the team I played with was called Three's Company, coached by Allen Iverson. I don't think you might have heard his name a little bit.
I might have.
But he was a coach player, and DeMar Johnson, what is mentioned. He was on that team also.
Right. I mean, so you got that. Yeah. I feel like you kind of had a little, you know, easier stuff. You had a Hoya coaching, and then, of course, you had somebody you played against. I mean, but tell me, I mean, the Big Three League, was it everything that you thought it would be, you know, in your first year playing with the league in its inaugural year?
Actually, it's better than I thought it was going to be. It was just, you know, the competition was very good. I think guys were out there going hard. Guys were just, you know, it wasn't guys just out there just trying to just, you know, play around and just you know, make it just to get by. Guys were really taking it seriously. And, you know, it was, you know, guys out there that has, you know, made a lot of money in their career and didn't really need the paychecks that Big Three was playing, but they were just playing for pride and just playing for just to have that, you know, that feeling, that competition feeling again, you know, because the games were on TV, you know, you were back in the big arenas and things like that. So it was just, you know, it was a great feeling. It was a lot of fun. I think most guys would probably say it, but you probably had, you know, some of the best fun playing basketball in the last.
Right.
It was, you know, it wasn't the actual pressure of being an NBA player and trying to be perfect, but, you know, it was a lot of fun. I mean, I'm sure after how it went, it would be more bigger names coming in.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. I mean, I felt like that was the whole talk. You know, everybody was talking about all of you, you know, greats coming back and playing in the league. I think it was just fun to watch. And as you said, it doesn't have the same pressures, but, you know, it's still competitive and it was still a great game to watch. So I don't think anybody's complaining about the product that Big Three basketball was. And now I want to go back to your playing career, you know, professionally. And I know something, you know, that I was really proud of you of is something that you came out with was your battle of depression that you came out and basically addressed that you basically were undergoing when you were playing in the NBA. Of course, unfortunately, you lost your father just before training camp with the Knicks. But, I mean, now I feel like, you know, you're outspoken about it and you're talking about mental health. So I just kind of want to know, I mean, why now, you know, is it so important for us to have this conversation about mental health? And then I want you to, the second part of that question is, how can we all become better educated about mental health?
I think now is this, you know, I was spoken about it because I got tired of people telling my story and what happened. And once I kind of told people why my career ended so shortly and so fast, they were kind of like, wow. And once I did that, so many guys that you might see on TV now, professional guys, start reaching out to me and telling me their stories, how they might have battled, they might have had a family member. And so many people started relating to me. I was like, wow, I'm not alone. And it made me a lot more comfortable to really start telling my story a lot more and just, you know, trying to help others and just seeing a lot of people that was out there suffering, that can really, you know, give them insight that, hey, you're not alone. And, you know, look at me. I was an NBA player, you know, in the stage there is, and I was still suffering. So no matter how, you know, grand you are in your life or how small you are in your life, everybody goes through and everybody's human. So I think that was one of the things that, you know, made me feel comfortable to keep talking about it.
Right. I mean, just knowing, like you said, that you weren't alone.
Yes. And I just think on the education part, it is one of those things you just kind of, you know, you just get kind of just kind of read up on it, but it's one of those things you just got to just kind of know, like, hey, you know, you see certain signs you can look for in, you know, a friend or a loved one that, you know, they started, you know, distance themselves from, you know, from, you know, they're not taking care of themselves, or, you know, they're very snippy and snappy. There's just a lot of mood changes you'll start noticing in people that, you know, certain signs that when a person's really starting to, you know, go through the depression, that's the things you can look out for and try to, you know, get them help, you know, and everybody is not easy to approach about it too.
Right.
So I would just say with people, if you're talking to a loved one, you know, just kind of stay consistent with it, you know, don't let them just shoot you off the first time, because more than likely nobody's going to admit to you the first time you ask them that they're going through depression. So just try to just, you know, talk to them and just be nice and just have patience and try to get them help.
Right. I think that's well said. As you said, I mean, you have to, you know, always be a part of people's lives, but, you know, you can't just ask one time and think, oh, okay, it's good. They said, you know, oh, I'm fine. You know, you have to make sure you're involved in that person's life. And I think people like you speaking out about it, as you said, you know, lets us know somebody's not going through it alone. And I think that speaks volumes. And then something else that you did this year that I thought was great was that you led a suicide prevention walk in PG County. And I'm just curious to know, what made you want to be a part of this? And, you know, where do you hope it leads to in the future?
When I first heard about it, I was, like, honored to be about it. And, you know, I was from a PG County guy.
Mm-hmm.
And so it had to be right in my backyard. Like, literally, I grew up, like, a minute from the walk.
Wow.
So that was, like, a big thing for me.
So really in your backyard.
Yeah, literally, yeah. So to be a part of that was just awesome. And, hopefully we can keep it growing. And just try to bring this awareness to our youngsters and to everyone. You know, our youngsters suffer more than anybody. We'd be surprised that teenagers suffer from depression more than a grown-up.
Right.
And so it's, you know, to try to reach out to our youth and get them out and walk and just try to have, you know, it's a day of not just sadness, it's a day of fun. Just, hey, let's go for a walk. Let's do some activity. But we also bring awareness. So it's one of those things. It was a great day, and hopefully it'll be bigger and better.
Yeah, I'm sure it will be. And, you know, one other thing I want to talk to you about is that you're also a father now. And I'm just curious, I mean, what kind of lessons, you know, do you teach your kids from your own life experiences so, you know, they can grow up and be impactful adults?
Just the lessons with me, I kind of do what my dad did to me. I just show them genuine love. And, you know, I give them words of advice. A lot of times I try to lead by example. Like, I try to work hard and, you know, and just live right and things like that. And actually, it's so funny. My son was going through a bullying situation at his school.
Oh, wow.
And I kind of guided him through it. I was like, hey, you know what? And I'm just being honest with you. This ain't going to be the first time. It's going to be the last time you'll have somebody, you know, trying to fight you, pick on you, or say bad things about you.
Right.
And I kind of told him how to handle the situation. I don't think I should say on the radio how what I told him to do, but it's one of those things that, you know, I just told him it's not going to be the first time, it's not going to be the last. And,
right.
And I just try to just raise them in a house full of love, and I teach them to respect people, and they're doing good. They're all doing great in school, with grades-wise. They're really, really respectful. So I think right now things are just going in a great direction. And just, like I said, just, you know, I was fortunate enough to have both parents in my household and showing me how it should be done. And I think right now that's really helping me, you know, be the father that I, you know, that my father was to me.
Well said. And I know they'll grow up to be great ones. I love seeing them on social media continuing to grow up. So wishing them the best. And I want to now switch it over to my Doing It Big in the DMV segment. So I'm going to assume, Mike, since you grew up in PG County, that you grew up a Washington Redskins fan. Or did you somehow become a fan of some other team?
Actually, no, it's a fun. I'm not a Redskins fan. I watch them, but I'm not a fan. I don't have a team in the NFL. I used to have a favorite player when I was growing up. Not growing up, but I was a big Terrell Owens fan. Whatever team he played for, I was kind of root for them. But a lot of times, I just watch it. I like on Sunday, I just watch football. And just enjoy
right.
It. I don't have a. But I do.
You don't have temper tantrums when they lose and stuff. You just watch.
Oh
it.
No.
Well, that's good to know.
It's a lot of stress for the people that
it
watch.
Is. It really is. Football season is stressful on so many people. Well, I hope you'll bear with me as we do a little bit of Redskins talk, because I want to talk about Kirk Cousins, who I'm sure is someone whose name you've been constantly hearing this NFL season. But he's doing something kind of cool this weekend. He's going to have a chance to talk face-to-face with Washington Redskins fans. And I think it's great because he's doing it for a good cause. He will be appearing with Grant and Danny on 106.7 The Fan for his weekly call-in segment. The Washington Redskins quarterback confirmed that he basically would meet with fans and answer their questions at a season-in-review event hosted by this popular radio show. And the event will raise money for the D.C. Dream Center, which aims to provide local children with mentorship and tutoring services. But it's really interesting because of course, everybody knows that fans are going to want to ask the 29-year-old one question. And that one question, you know, is, will he be back? So I'm just kind of curious, in your own mind, do you think we'll see Kirk Cousins back in a Washington Redskins uniform next season?
Oh, man. I mean, he was honestly grew up in his organization. He's become a great, you know, not great, he's a good quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been doing so well. And I think right now, you know, as a team, you will want to try to bring him back. And I think at this point, it's up to him if he wants to come back. That's the
right.
thing. I
right.
think they'll be kind of foolish to not want to bring him back, because then, if so, you got to try to find somebody in free agency or
hopefully
get a draft pick. Yeah, and
right.
you start all over. So at this point, I think you try to do whatever you can to bring him back. But I think at this point, I think, you know, with the, you know, the chaos going around with the back and forth and upstairs, and then you have the stuff with the teammates at times and guys, you know,
yeah.
out, you know, speaking out. And, you know, he might just need to change the scene. He might want to change the scenery because you can tell he's just a great person.
Right.
And sometimes being around, you know, just hate to say it, but I think as the Watchers organization at times is dysfunctional. There's a lot
mm-hmm.
of stuff that just goes crazy.
Right.
But the organization is just always something. You know, it's always something. And I just think
so you think
just,
it might
you know,
be too much for him?
Could, I mean, I don't know. I don't know him personally, but I can see it, you know, as a just
right.
type of person.
Affecting his decision.
Yeah, it could affect the decision because some people are like, you know what, I just want to just go somewhere and just start over and have a try to, you know, be drama free.
Right, right. It's funny you say that because during the 2016 training camp, Washington Redskins quarterback Kirk Cousins actually said he wanted the organization to become like the NBA's San Antonio Spurs, a team known for winning without drama. But as you mentioned,
yeah.
it seems like, you know, so many times in the headlines and news, we see something going on with
yeah.
the organization.
Yeah, cause
but,
yeah. And I don't know if it's, you know, I said, I'm not in the locker room. I can't say it, but
right.
I just know when you come, like I said, when you come to the media, it's always something in the newspaper or internet or,
right.
or, you know, First Take or ESPN. It's always something about the Redskins. So it's always something going on. So whether half the story is true or not, I don't know, but it's just, you know, it's always drama.
Right.
And, you know, it's just one of those things that, you know, who knows if he wants to keep dealing with it. He maybe just wanted to start over. And I think, you know, with the franchise tag situation, him wanting a security deal, they would never give it to him.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, he kind of has them. He has the leverage. So,
right. He's
kind of, so,
you know, in the power
yeah.
position.
Yeah, so
very
now we'll just see how that goes.
You know, everybody in the DMV is looking at this situation as the season comes to an end. But, you know, the possible teams, Mike, they're saying that he might go to, of course, the New York Giants, because, of course, it's all kind of dependent upon if Eli Manning will return back to the Giants. And, of course, the Minnesota Vikings, all three of their quarterbacks, they have Case Keenum, Teddy Bridgewater, and Sam Bradford. They're all pending free agents. But most people, you know, expect at least one of them to return because the Vikings, I mean, they're a pretty solid team. And then, of course, the Arizona Cardinals, there's questions with quarterback Carson Palmer. He is 38 and coming off an injury. So it'll be interesting to see how things fare there. Then the Denver Broncos, Mike, are one of the top-leaning teams that people think Kirk Cousins might go to and go over and help John Elway. And then, of course, Vance Joseph, you know, in his rocky first season as a coach, who knows? I mean, is Kirk Cousins the answer for them? And then, of course, Jacksonville Jaguars. It's all dependent upon Blake Bortles.
Yeah, he has a lot of options. So we'll see.
I mean, there's so many. You know,
I think it's
going to
be a crazy
offseason
for the NFL. It's kind of be
it really is.
Yeah.
It's going to be fun to see. So, Kirk, I don't know if he'll be back in those uniforms. I mean, there's so many, like the Bills, the Jets, the Dolphins, the Browns. I mean, who knows? But it'll be interesting to follow Kirk. But now I want to talk about something that should be near and dear to your heart as we go to Kelsey's Across the Nation segment. I want to talk about Georgetown basketball. So, of course, this is something I know you have a high IQ in, being that you played in a uniform. And, of course, all eyes are pretty much on Pat Ewing in his first year, Mike, with the Georgetown Hoyas. But, you know, I want to kick it off first. With a lot of people have been criticizing Georgetown because of their non-conference schedule play. A lot of people said it was just way too easy. So I want to know, you know, what are your thoughts to people, you know, who said that Georgetown really hasn't had any competition yet until, of course, they played Butler on Wednesday night?
Me being a fan and me being coming from there, yeah, it got to be realistic. Yes, I mean, it is an easy schedule.
Right.
But I think it was, you know, me. And I don't know. I haven't whatever to know the reason why, because it's never been that easy. Because I know when I did, we would play those type of games, but they played, I want to say, like 9 of them.
Mm-hmm.
And down, I don't know, because, you know, in my opinion, I think it's because his past first year, I
right.
don't think, you know, they want to really just throw him into the fire, just start
right.
playing these tough teams. I think, hey, give him some, you know, some time, some way to get a rotation down. You know, it's just different. He's been an assistant coach all these years, and so now he's just thrown in as a head coach. I think he just needed a few games to get his feet wet. So I think he's going to do well, but I think that was the main reason for doing that, because it's never been like that in all the years I've watched them, and I think that was probably one of the reasons why they did it.
Right, and I feel like, as you said, I mean, I think, right, it's his first year in it. I don't think it's wrong, but, I mean, people have really been ripping Georgetown's men's basketball program for that, and some people, quite frankly, Mike, thought that wouldn't prepare them for conference play. But, you know, I think, you know, only time will tell. I think people keep forgetting Pat just got there. Give him a chance, you know, and he still has a team that he's still getting used to, but all eyes are pretty much have been this season, Mike, on Jesse Govan, of course, who's pretty much been Georgetown's best player. I mean, he dominates the paint. He gets to the line. But tell me, who else are you really liking on this Georgetown team that you really can think helped them grow and possibly get us to that March Madness phase in that tournament time?
I think yes, Jesse is playing, you know, out of this world. It's just crazy, like, for him to average. I want to say he might be averaging 20 points. I mean, he's close. I don't know his exact numbers.
Mm-hmm.
But he's been having a lot of 20 and 10 games, and it's just
yeah.
watching him grow and watching everybody, you know, everybody follow his lead. And it's just, I'm kind of really excited, because, like, it's just like, it's like a different confidence with the whole team. I mean, mm-hmm. everybody's like just really stepped their game up.
Right.
And it's just, I really think this is my opinion. I hope it doesn't hurt them with the, you know, the preseason schedule, whatever.
Right.
Well, that's I'm sorry, early season schedule.
Early, right.
I mean, it's just like a whole different confidence level that Pat has brought to the guys, that everybody's believing that they can win and, you know, be better. I mean, it's just something about him, because Pat is actually so funny. He's a mild-mannered guy. He doesn't scream. He's not a big, you know, whatever. He's really kind of, not saying he's shy, but he's
right.
kinda, he gives off the whatever. So
not that right in your face.
No, yeah, he's just, but I think the confidence he has given those guys is just watching them, because I was there for the Midnight Madness. And, you know, we was playing a couple of games on that, but just watching
right.
it, it was just watching the guys, that their confidence is way high right now. It's good.
Right. I mean, I don't know how it couldn't be. You have Pat Ewing as a head basketball coach.
But that's what I'm saying. The confidence went up, but it also could have went another way, because those guys could have been really intimidated by him, because it's like,
that's
wow,
true.
This is Patrick Ewing. But for the confidence level to be the way it is, it's pretty
right.
good. It's pretty awesome.
So it seems like they really bought into him, you know, which is great, because that's what you need as a coach. You have to have full control of your team. You need to have full control of that locker room, and it seems like he does. And it seems like they respect him. So I think Georgetown's on to something. I think it's still early in the season, but I think people need to lay off a bit. You know, it's still early in the college basketball season. But it'll be interesting to see how they fare through conference play, because I think that's when you can really determine, you know, what a team is made of and if they have that grit that they need to win games. So, you know, it'll be fun to watch the Hoya Saxo play their home games here at the Capital One Center in Washington, D.C. But now I want to switch it over to some more college hoops and talk about the AP poll that just came out, which, of course, is the Associated Press Top 25 for the third straight week. The new rankings were released Monday, and it should come as no surprise, but the Villanova Wildcats, who have won 6 of their last 7 games by double digits, remained on top of this poll. And then also the Michigan State Spartans held steadily at the number 2 seed, while the Arizona State Sun Devils, Duke Blue Devils, and Texas A&M Aggies rounded out the top 5. But interestingly enough, Mike, a win over Ohio State and the CBS Sports Classic over the weekend wasn't enough to prevent North Carolina's inevitable free fall in the rankings after dropping a home stunner to Wofford last week as 25.5-point favorites. So, of course, that really hurt the Tar Heels. But basically, Mike, Villanova being on top, I know that probably doesn't surprise you, being that you're used to Big East play. But tell me, is there any team right now in college basketball that you're really looking at and thinking they can go all the way?
I think the team is. Obviously, in my heart, I want to say hopefully Georgetown can, you know, get in and surprise some people. But I got to go with Villanova. Just the way, you know, Jay Wright is just an awesome coach. I remember playing against him, and his strategy he would have against me was kind of crazy. So just you know, watching them, the way they play, you know, they play together. They have, it's a good system. They're great on the defensive end, which is
right.
going to be huge, you know, in NCAA. So I think Villanova is one of those teams that you definitely got to watch. And I never count on Coach K and Duke. I never do. You know, Jason Allen is playing well. Marvin Marvin, I was going to say Marvin, the big kid. the guy that's supposed to be, he's like the top three pick. Baglin,
yeah.
I can't pronounce his last name. I
know you're
talking about,
yeah. But right, you can't count against him.
I mean, so, you know, when you got, you know, some pro, you know, a couple pros in your team, you never count them out either. So,
You
know, Coach K is very inexperienced coach. So, I think those two teams are the teams you got to watch.
Definitely. I mean, I think you said it. You can never count against Coach K, and that's coming from me even as a Terp. I have to give Coach K his props. But I thought one of the most interesting moves in the AP poll was actually the Oklahoma Sooners. They were ranked 17th a week ago, but, of course, Trae Young's stellar play pushed the Sooners up to number 12 this week. But they will face one of their toughest challenges of the season this Saturday in the Big 12 opener against undefeated TCU. So it'll be interesting to see how the Oklahoma Sooners round out. Another team that people had questions about were the Miami Hurricanes, who suffered their first defeat of the season when they were upset by the New Mexico State Aggies 63-54 on Saturday, which dropped them from number 6 to number 15. But college basketball, I think we both know it'll always go up and down, up and down. But it's pretty much the teams that you expected, Mike, in the top 25. Locally, we have Virginia at number 9. They're pretty much holding the forces for us here in the DMV, and then, of course, West Virginia at number 7. But rounding out the top 25 is Creighton at 10-2. So it'll be interesting to see how college hoop fares out. But hopefully, as you said, hopefully Georgetown will find their way into that poll, hopefully sometime soon. But now I want to switch it over to my biggest headlines in sports. I want to switch it over to some Christmas Day basketball. It's Christmas Day, Mike. Did you get a chance to watch any hoops?
All day long.
I mean, what else do you do, right?
Yeah, I mean, while my kids play with their toys, you know, I had basketball, so I was good. I had my peace
perfect.
And quiet my mom.
Like perfect
it was perfect.
Christmas.
Yeah, it was perfect.
I'm going to run down the box scores for people that maybe missed it. So the 76ers beat the Knicks 105-98. The Golden State Warriors defeated the Cavs 99-92. Wizards defeated Boston 111-103. The Thunder defeated the Rockets 112-107. And the Timberwolves defeated the Lakers 121-104. You know, pick a random game, Mike, and we'll talk about it. Which one excited you the most?
To be honest with you, it's gonna probably sound crazy. I actually love watching the Knicks in the
Nice. It was a good one.
I mean, it was so good, and just I mean, I love watching the Cantor and Embiid matchup.
Oh my gosh, yes.
I mean, I just loved it. I mean, it was just like one of those things. For some reason, like, Porzingis is like kind of one of my favorite players to watch in NBA.
Unicorn.
Yes.
I mean, he's really changed the game, and he's been so much fun to watch. And I always think back, Mike, to draft day when he was picked and everybody was booing and they didn't know who he was and what he's doing. And he really has put the city of New York under his wings and has really balled out and really, you know, gives the New York Knicks something to be excited about, you know, after Phil Jackson and the triangle didn't work out for them. they have Porzingis that they can trust in. I mean, and then you talked about Cantor. I mean, he really stole the show Christmas. I think he was probably on every New Yorker's nice list on Christmas.
Yes, I mean, yes. I want to say he had like 30 and 22 or something. It's something crazy.
31 and 22, yep.
He was like
balling
crazy.
Out.
Yeah, and he's just one of those guys. But, you know, Cantor has always been a double-double guy.
Right.
And even in OKC, he's one of those guys that any given night, he probably can give you 20 and 10. If he had, you know, the shots and the touches. So he's a good, solid player. So I think, you know, with that trade, they did, you know, the Knicks did pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, I think they did pretty good. I mean, they're actually in a playoff hunt. I want to say they might have the A spot right now.
Knicks, watch out for them now.
It's not one of those teams. They're not that team that, you know, when guys play the Knicks, like, okay, they think it's an easy win. No, they have to fight because you got Michael Beasley, who's finally given a chance, that's playing really well, too. So it's going to be pretty good.
You cannot throw it down. And then, of course, locally, we had the Wizards beating the Boston Celtics, who led the East on Christmas Day, which was great. Of course, it was a battle of the all-star guards, Mike. We had John Wall and Kyrie going at it. They pretty much were matched to each other. John Wall had 21 points and 14 assists. Kyrie had 20 points and 5 assists in the loss. But tell me, what were some of your favorite memories from that game?
Just watching Bradley Beal, the way he just started. Not saying, I don't want to say develop. He's always been. I think ever since he came in, he's been good. It's just, we always knew he was a good shooter. It was just a lot of things just watching him and watching him come off pick and rolls. And he's just, like, making the right passes, like, working the right plays. He's just becoming, you know, I mean, people think I'm crazy when I say it, but I think you know, when you come, you talk about the best players on the team, I say, you know, John Wall 1A, Bradley Beal 1B. I don't think there's no number two person. I think the way he's been playing this year, it's, you can say 1A, 1B. I mean, obviously,
right,
John Wall
great.
Does a lot for that team, but the way Bradley Beal's been playing this year, you've got to give him that 1B person. He's not number two. Sorry.
So is Bradley Beal for sure all-star in your book this year, Mike?
If not, then it's personal. I think he should have made it last year.
Yeah.
But obviously, I think the thing that might have hurt him was probably the injuries and the time off the floor. But this year, he's been on the floor a lot. You know, John Wall's been out sometimes, so he's been kind of the most guy that kind of held holding him down. And I think when John Wall went out, I want to say he kept him at a 500 mark. I think they went like 4-4 without him, or 3-3. So
yeah, three
everybody
three,
thought
right?
that
yeah.
when he was out,
right.
he was going to be like all bad. And no, he came out, he played, you know, great basketball. So just watching him being the player that he is just, it's fun to watch.
And he's still so young. I mean, there's still so much we have to see. And I think the biggest thing is that Bradley Beal has stayed healthy this year. I've always said Bradley Beal is a great player. Now that he's staying healthy, people can really see that. And as you said, I mean, you know, John Wall, yes, he's a star, but he has another superstar next to him. And I don't think Bradley has got that credit, Mike, because for so long, what has everyone been saying? Oh, John Wall's the only star with the Wizards. That's why they can't get any of these big names to go there. But right, we have Bradley Beal. And I think now he's finally getting on that national level where everybody is going to know who Bradley Beal is.
Yeah, and I've been arguing with my friends about that for a while. But they, you know, he's John Wall fan. I said, don't get me wrong. This is John Wall's team. This is John Wall's city. But I'm like, you know, Bradley Beal is right there. You know, he
put
is
some
right
respect
there.
On his name. That's what I'm sure he wants.
Yeah.
So tell me, do the Wizards, though, of course we see all these big superstars, you know, basically picking the teams they want to go to make these championship-worthy teams. Do you think the Wizards have what it takes to possibly pull a third superstar here to possibly, maybe, get to that championship level?
Yeah, they do. They do. And you know who I think is going to come? I just have a gut feeling that DeMarcus Cousins is going to
come. Oh, you said Boogie, and I was hoping you'd say that.
I think he is. I mean, because you got to think about the relationship that him and John Wall have.
Yeah, Kentucky
reunion. He loves D.C. I mean, he actually comes back here and plays and works out sometimes. People don't know that. Like, he comes to D.C. Man, D.C. is a city that he loves. And
right.
so I can definitely see him being
there. You can see it happening.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I'm not saying Gortat is bad or anything, but if you replace Gortat with Boogie Cousins, come on now.
I mean, like you said, I think there you go. I think that's that third solid piece you need. Him and John already have the chemistry. You talked about that. And I think, you know, him and AD, I mean, it's been better. But unfortunately, we all know the Pelicans, they're not going to go anywhere. The Pelicans aren't going to go anywhere. So why not have a chance, you know, here in D.C. with John Wall? I completely agree with you, Mike.
Yeah, so
it'll be interesting.
It's one of those things that I can see it happen. You know, let's say, you know, D.C. is a great city.
Right.
I don't see why not. So
we got sports, we got politics. Why not? Why would you not want to be here? I mean, I know he's in New Orleans and probably having fun, but still, such a powerful city, great team. Then you get to play with John Wall. I think there you go. There's your answer. But another good game on Christmas, Mike, was of course Russell Westbrook basically putting on a show as OKC took on the Houston Rockets and James Harden. But Westbrook, I mean, he started slow, but he finished with 31 points, 11 assists, and 6 rebounds to give the Thunder the victory. So what do you think about that game?
I mean, it's a good win for them. You know, to finally beat a good team.
Right.
And I think I think they're finally, you know, they're starting to gel a little bit. They're starting to get it together. And you know, I do think that it's going to be, you know, Houston and Golden State in the Western Conference Finals, but I don't think OKC can really push some of those teams. I don't know if they can really beat them in a 7-game series.
Right.
But you know, the way they're playing is playing, you know, playing pretty good. So.
Why do you think it's taking so long, though, for them to gel?
You got three guys that need the ball.
Right. They're all ball hungry.
Yeah, I mean, they're all guys that need the ball in their hands. And you look at, you know, because everybody's like, oh, well, you know, Miami did it. Well, you know, D-Wade kind of, he was at a point in his career where he was like, you know what? Hey, LeBron, you take over. I'll take the back seat. That's kind of rare for a superstar to do that. And Bosch is like a pick-and-pop guy, so it kind of worked itself out. Whereas with those guys, Melo, like, look, Melo can only give it to him. He needs the ball in his hand. Paul George needs the ball in his hand. Those guys are not like a pick-and-pop or, hey, you know, no, or come off a screen. No, they like, nah, I need the ball so I can go one-on-one. That's their type of game. So
it's a highlight reel.
You got three players playing the same way, so – it's going to take time to adjust.
Mm. And tell me, do you think that OKC still beats the Rockets if they had Chris Paul?
Ooh. Yes, probably so.
Okay.
Because
of course he was out. But,
yes,
you know, I'm just curious
to
know if
you thought
it would make a difference.
He can't stay with Russell Westbrook.
Ah.
Yeah, he would have had to guard Russell, and I don't know how that would have turned out for him anyway. So I think he still would have beat him.
All right. Well, good to know. Yeah. Good to know. Now, I hope you don't mind, we're going to switch it over to football. And some news that really sent social media ablaze. James Harrison signed with the Patriots. Who saw that coming?
And it looks like the genius he is.
He is. I mean, think about it. I mean, if you could pick any team, I mean, it was a perfect match. I mean, match made in heaven, I'll say. So it's weird, but now, of course, James Harrison, he's now a member of the AFC rival New England Patriots. But there's been a lot of messiness going on with this whole situation, Mike, because basically Steelers center Marquise Pouncey told reporters that he erased his own legacy. And if that's not enough, a handful of Harrison's former Steelers teammates suggested that the way the veteran linebacker's release played out was not as it seemed on Tuesday when he signed with the Patriots a day after clearing waivers. Harrison wanted out of Pittsburgh, the player said, and let the Steelers take the blame for the severed relationship. So basically, his now former teammates, you know, said everything went according to plan for Harrison, who wasn't happy with his limited role that included 40 snaps in 14 games. Coach Mike Tomlin briefly explained the release Tuesday, citing the need for a corresponding roster move with Marcus Gilbert's return from suspension. So I'm just curious, I mean, what do you think now about James Harrison going to New England?
Well, first of all, it's a genius move by Bill Belichick.
Right.
Yeah, I just think it's just one of those things. I mean, they released him. So it's just one of those things that, you know, I'm sure he was, you know, when you get cut, no matter how you feel, it's like, you know, you're in your feelings a little bit. So I'm sure he probably wanted to get back at them.
Right.
I'm sure. So, but I don't
think
he's
one of the best to do it. James Harrison,
yeah.
I mean, wow.
Yes.
Just so much.
I agree. I don't think it should erase his legacy, though. I mean, that's just.
Yeah, his teammates are
really a little bit emotional.
Right?
Yeah, but
there's something going on that still is locker room because nobody was happy there. He is 39-year-old, of course, but as a pass rusher, I mean, he has seen his time reduced, and no player, of course, wants to see that, you know, in any sport. And then if that's not bad enough, rookie T.J. Watt and Dupree, both first-round picks, who replaced Harrison on a full-time basis this season, when they were asked if Harrison was a mentor, Dupree actually laughed while walking out of the interview. So I don't know. It's a lot of bad blood there in the locker room. I don't know what's going on in Pittsburgh, but hopefully James Harrison finds happiness, you know. And then some people thought he rubbed salt in the Steelers' wound when he posted a smiling selfie of him and Patriots quarterback Tom Brady less than an hour after the deal became official. So, ouch. I don't know, James Harrison. I don't know. He's stepping on some wounds, so it'll definitely be interesting.
I mean, yeah, they cut him. I mean,
I don't know. Right? How do people want him to act? I mean, I don't know what
they cut him.
Want.
I mean, it's 53 people. I'm sorry, you cut him. And if he's such a legend, you know, a legend, or his legacy really matters. I'm sure somebody else could have waived.
I mean, because he's older. I think we saw that same situation happen with the Baltimore Ravens, right, when Ray Lewis was a free agent his last season. And, of course, they had to make a way work, even though he was older. But because they had so much respect, and he is, of course, one of the greatest to ever do it at his position, guess where he ended up staying? In Baltimore. Yeah. So we've seen teams, you know, make it work. So I don't know. Pittsburgh, I'm going to just let them get their stuff together. Now we're going to move to New York, Mike, where Eli Apple was another person that sent social media ablaze because basically he's had a disastrous second season as the second-year cornerback Eli Apple did for New York, and it's basically now come to an end because the Giants announced Wednesday that the first-round cornerback has been suspended for the team's final regular season finale against the Washington Redskins. He was punished for a pattern of behavior that is conduct detrimental to the team, the interim general manager Kevin Abrams said in a statement after he and interim coach Steve Spagnuolo met with last year's first-round pick. And NFL Network actually reported that Apple's suspension seemed partly from an argument that he had Wednesday with an assistant coach and then his subsequent refusal to take the practice field with the scout team. And then if that wasn't bad enough, he basically had just some craziness with reporters Wednesday. One day after Giants safety Landon Collins unloaded on his teammate during an interview, Lant Collins actually called him a cancer on ESPN New York. So, I mean, what is going on in New York with Eli Apple, Mike? Just so much
I read that story, and I was just like, wow. Another team needs to call you out. So there's usually things like that kind of stay in-house.
Yeah.
But for him to actually talk to the media and put his name behind it. You know, he didn't say, it wasn't saying, hey, a source said he was a cancer. He was like, hey, I am cancer. So it's one of those things that, you know, it makes you wonder for him saying and putting his name behind it. I'm sure he probably wasn't the only one on the team that felt that way. Nobody has really come to his defense. Nobody's come up and said, oh, no, he's a good kid. No. So it's probably one of those things. He's probably been a headache in the locker room, and it's just probably time for a change of scenery.
Change,
you know? And he's in New York City. I'm sure being in New York is probably not the easiest thing to adjust to. So
you
know, he has a New York media.
You.
Yeah. So, you know, I don't know. I just hope that works. But I think at some point, you know, for him saying that, they can't be teammates again next year. So somebody has to go. You can't call somebody a cancer. They end up, and there's no way they can probably repair that relationship. So I'm sure one of them are out the door.
Yeah, it's just, it's bad. The Giants just have been having so many problems on and off the field. So hopefully they get that together. But then staying in football, that's like the messiness continues, Mike, because if that's not enough, now Jamaal Charles wants out. Basically, of course, he plays for the Broncos, but he basically said he was mismanaged. The two-time All-Pro running back, Jamaal Charles, I mean, he basically just saying they didn't use him. So basically, the veteran running back called openly for his release on Tuesday after he saw his playing time steadily plummet over the course of 2017, his first and last season in Denver. But then if that's not enough, Charles hit a low point of his career last Sunday when he was deactivated, people, in favor of rookie runner D'Angelo Henderson. This decision hit him hard, particularly in his wallet. So basically, based on the structure of Charles' one-year $900,000 contract, he could have earned $1.25 million by appearing in every regular season game based on his bonuses. But basically, of course, he hasn't been doing that. He's been sitting on the bench. But, you know, some people are basically criticizing the way that he told everybody that he wanted out of Denver. He actually told the Denver Post, I thought we were all going to get a chance to share the ball. I never got a chance to be in the first 15, and it sucks. How the other running backs, like I look around and see the Patriots share the running backs in New Orleans. You know what I'm saying? I never got an opportunity. So what do you think about this situation here?
Sounds like he was probably made a promise, and it wasn't kept, so now he's pissed.
Right.
You know,
basically,
and I'm sure, and now he's looking like the crazy guy because now he's like spreading, you know, saying his feelings to the media and how he feels.
Right.
But I'm sure that's not out of the blue. You know what I'm saying? If you go into the thing and they telling you, hey, you might get some snaps or you might be the one, you know, might, it's not 100% sure, you got to earn it. Even they tell, hey, you know what, you got to earn your snaps. But he probably was under the impression that he was going to be sharing snaps. So now it's like, okay. What is this?
And now he's not even doing that, right? And he talks about how other teams are making it work. So I felt like, you know, and I think we saw the same situation, of course, with Adrian Peterson, right? When he was in New Orleans, he got mad. You know, he didn't have enough snaps. And then, of course, he found his way out. So I think that's what Jamaal Charles is saying. But I think players do have to be careful, you know, saying their thoughts to the media prior to talking with their teams. Because, as you said, that's when it can kind of look bad and messy. And but I wish the best. You know, Jamaal Charles is a great running back, and I don't think anybody can diminish his skills. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, what happens with him in the future. But now I'm going to switch it back to basketball, Mike, for my Ballin' Out with Kel segment. And I want to talk about Isaiah Thomas. So first, I'm going to start on a positive note, and I'm going to cater to sneakerheads. Are you a sneakerhead, Mike, at all?
I'm a Jordan guy. That's what it
is. Okay. You're like, that's where it is. I've never been huge into them. I'm actually liking sneakers more now. But for sneakerheads, in preparation for Isaiah Thomas's return to the court, Nike has introduced a special edition Kobe ADs that the Cavs guard figures to lace up when he finally makes his season debut. Now, the mighty IT Nike Kobe AD comes dressed in wine and gold as a nod to the Cavs uniform and also features a smaller Nike swoosh inside a larger swoosh silhouette, which, of course, is inspired by the All-Star guard's 5'9 frame. Additionally, Thomas's initials are stamped on the heel above Kobe Bryant's local. According to the J23 app, the Mighty IT Kobe AD is scheduled to release on January 6th, prior to the Cavs game against Orlando Magic. It is still unclear when Isaiah Thomas will be healthy enough to play, but he'll likely be making his debut any day now. Now, Tyronn Lue has already ruled him out for the game against the Kings, but did leave the door open for Cleveland's final game of 2017, a Saturday night matchup in Utah. But I bring this up basically because, of course, I mean, Isaiah Thomas has been generating a lot of talk on social media. Of course, he's been out, and everybody's been waiting to see his debut with the Cavs. But just tell me, I mean, when he does come back, how do you think he'll fit in? Because it seems like Cleveland has been faring pretty well without him.
I mean, yeah, they've been playing pretty good, I mean, without him. And, but score. So, you know, at times, sometimes the offense does get a little lulled, and, you know, it takes a toll on Bron. I mean, I know he's in great shape, but, you know, for him to keep this up to 82 games and try to do it throughout the playoffs,
right,
it's kind of rough on him. So I think, you know, with Isaiah coming another, you know, big score, because, you know, obviously D-Wade just doesn't – he's not D-Wade anymore like he used to be, so –
he's not that same Dwayne. He still has it, but he's still not that Dwayne Wade.
Yeah, yeah. So he'll have a game here and there where he'll have flashes, but for a consistent 25-point game a night guy like what Kyrie did, you know, I think LeBron is going to need that. And hopefully, you know, Isaiah gets back. I'm sure it's going to take him a couple weeks, you know, to get back to that form. But at some point, you know, I think it's going to help him. I'm sure it's going to take them some time to, you know, work all the kinks and everybody get on the same page because they have a rhythm right now. But I think in the long run, it's going to work out.
All right, well, I'm glad you know. You're positive. I think it will, too. And, I mean, I think that's just going to make the Cavs stronger, and they'll continue to be the beast in the East that everyone knows they are. And then people got an early Christmas Day present in Cleveland because Thomas actually posted himself dunking on Instagram on Christmas Day. And he's been – the 28-year-old has been showing signs of improvement his last week during scrimmages with the NBA's G League affiliate. And head coach Tyronn Lue said that he hoped to have Thomas – compete in high-speed workout with the team before he returns. So it'll be interesting. But Isaiah Thomas has also made headlines, Mike, because basically he just did an interview with Rachel Nichols. I'm basically going to tell you his answer to some questions that caused some people to kind of really get mad, especially in Boston. So one of the questions she asked was, do you wish you had gotten different or more information from the Celtics medical staff? And, of course, this is referring to his injury. He said, I do wish I would have gotten more information. It was never this could be something that could possibly shut you down for a while, because if that was the case, I definitely wouldn't have played. And then the second question was, when Danny says one of the reasons that they traded you was because of your injury, how did that make you feel? And he answered, I was very hurt because I gave them everything I had. Like, I gave them too much when I should have just sat out, especially with all the stuff that I was going through. And when I say going through with my sister passing and things like that, like, you don't do things like that, man. So he received a lot of backlash. But I'm just curious, do you have any problem with these answers that he gave to Rachel Nichols in the interview, Mike?
Not at all. Not at all.
People said he was criticizing the medical staff and stuff, and then, you know, keep talking about the trade. But, you know, Isaiah Thomas said, Mike, that people keep asking him about it. He said he's over it. You know, he loves Boston, but, you know, this is kind of how things were. So, I mean, what do you think?
I mean, I definitely think that somebody dropped the ball. I mean, people don't really realize it, but, you know, if you notice, they have a new team doctor and a new strength and conditioning coach this year.
Totally.
And those guys they had has been there, I think, one of, I want to say, like 10, 15 years, maybe longer.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, out of the blue, those guys are gone. I find that kind of interesting. So, I don't know. I'm just not speculating. I just find that weird. But I just think one of those things, you know, I'm sure if he knew, hey, you know, if this is really going to jeopardize my future, then yes, you rest. I mean, Popovich is just, you just, if you ever listen to Greg Popovich, when one of his players gets hurt, first thing he says is, I want my players to be okay. And it's not about right now. It's about their future and their career.
Right.
So, and I think he's right about that, to say, hey, you know, if we're playing in this series, yes, it means a lot, but if they're talking about, hey, I might not be able to play next year or whatever, that's more important.
Right.
So
I completely agree.
Yeah, so I think it's one of those things that he's right. And then also, and of course, I mean, with the him giving it all, he should have, and he, you know, nobody thought that he was going to play.
Right.
I mean, his sister, he just found out his sister died, and he's out there on the court playing the next day.
Oh, I remember he had one of the best games after that.
Yeah, I don't know how he did it, to be honest with you. So, and for him to give his all that way, he gave his all to them, played during that. They misdiagnosed, or whatever happened with the you know, them not telling him the right thing health-wise. So, and then they trade him to say, oh, it's your health. It is kind of messed up.
Right.
You know?
It was not good how it happened. I mean, I'm sure he didn't see that coming. I mean, Mike, when you thought of the Boston Celtics, you thought of Isaiah Thomas, right? I mean, you know, he really was the leader of that team, made a legacy for himself out there. And in the East, you know, it's just kind of what you got used to. But at the end of the day, I mean, I think they did put him on a good quality team, because obviously they put him back on a team that can get to the championships. But, I mean, I think it does hurt, you know, like you said, the way it happened.
Yeah, I mean, yes, it got to. You know, that's just like, you know, if you have a boyfriend and you ask your boyfriend, hey, do I need to lose weight? He's, oh, no, you look good.
Right.
But then he breaks up with you and say, oh, you know, I broke up because I want, you know, you're overweight. You'd be like, oh, well, you just told me I look good. You know, so.
Right, you just said something else. What's up?
You break up the wings where it's kind of like, okay. So, I mean, I'm glad he's in a good position now where he's playing with one, you know, not one, he's the best player in the game.
Right.
And, you know, a team that's, you know, pushing for a championship.
Right.
So I think it's going to be, you know, a great situation for him because, you know, it could have been worse. He could have got traded to a team that's, you know, rebuilding or things like that. So him being in that situation is great.
Yeah, I think you said it well, though. I mean, I always wish the best for Isaiah Thomas. I think he's a good guy. He's not a bad guy, like some people try to make him out to be.
Oh, yeah, definitely a great guy. I mean, great person. And so just a lot in the community, you know, great husband and father. So, no, I mean, he's just a guy that gave his all to a team and, they gave him the boot. And so, of course, you're going to have feelings. I don't care who you are. That's human nature.
Right. I mean, yeah. And then it's a competitive game, right? He wanted to continue to compete. So it was hurtful. Yeah. But, you know, I think he'll be on the great things. And I think when he comes back, he's going to have a monster return. I really do. Just because, I mean, yes, he's a little guy for the NBA, but he's done so much. And he has so much grit in him. And he's a competitor. Then you put him next to LeBron James. I mean, that's a winning combination. So I'm excited to see him come back. But now, Mike, I want to transition into my Kelsey's Are You Serious Right Now segment. And I'm actually going to bring up something right now that's making a lot of waves on social media. So you watch football, Mike, and as you know, this season has been filled with so many injuries, Mike. I mean, it's been ridiculous how many players have gotten hurt. So some people are saying, you know, there's a problem with the NFL, and a lot of people are asking the question, does the NFL need a minor league system? And I'm just kind of curious to hear your thoughts. Do you think that would be kind of a way so that they have more players readily available than, of course, than just picking from the practice squad?
I mean, I agree with that. I mean, yeah, I mean, I don't see nothing, but I think that's a tough one.
I mean,
because, you know, because in the practice squad, you know, it's, you know, those guys. I mean, but it's not enough. Because I don't know how many guys are actually on the practice squad.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just one of those things that I don't see it. You know, the NBA has it. You know, the baseball has it. So, you know, you have guys that, you know, like I said, say if, like, you know, for instance, the Wizards have a D-League team and, you know, if a couple guys get hurt, they're able to go down and get some guys that's playing in a D-League team that already knows the system and is ready to play and, you know, get in game shape. So I don't see, you know, I think that'd be a great thing. I don't see, it can't hurt.
Right, it won't hurt.
Yeah, it won't hurt. So I think it'd be a great idea for them to do that.
All right, well, good. Well, switching from that topic to another Are You Serious Right Now topic, Serena Williams is making a comeback. She will play her first competitive tennis since the Australian Open at the World Tennis Championship this coming Saturday. Tournament organizers announced Sunday, which, of course, caused everybody on social media to go crazy. She will face defending French Open champion Jelena Ostapenko. I probably said her name wrong. Oops. But in an exhibition match, Williams has not played since winning her 23rd Grand Slam title while approximately 8 weeks pregnant. So I'm just kind of curious, Mike, I mean, how excited are you to see Serena return?
Excited is, you know, understatement, but I was also kind of shocked because, like, when I read it, I had to read it 2 times to make sure I was reading it. I was like, wow, she's coming back pretty fast.
Yeah.
Like, that's pretty, like, you know, boss.
Yeah, we just saw her baby, right? Like,
I mean, it just shows that, you know, the greatest of all time, arguably, you know, go down, you know, so it's just to see her back out there and that fast is just like crazy.
Wow.
And I'm sure she's gonna be in great shape, ready to go, and it's just like, wow, I just can't wait to tune in and watch.
It's gonna be fun. I mean, it's always fun to watch.
Yeah, because a woman, you know, usually women, they take a few months off, and I mean,
you have to get your body back, but
obviously for her to say that, she must be in shape.
Right. That just shows that she was doing something right. I mean, I'm sure she was probably even training while she was getting pregnant, you know, and working out and making sure she didn't gain too much weight. But, I mean, I think she was great for the sport and, of course, great for fans. Everybody's excited to see her back. Australian Open Tournament Director Craig Tilley said earlier this month that Williams was very likely to play in the first Grand Slam of 2018, which begins January 15th. So, wow. It'll be exciting to see Serena Williams back in action. I think everybody in the world is probably going to be watching.
Oh yeah, I mean, I think every man in the country is going to be tuning in to watch.
I'm sure. I think I can definitely agree with that. It's Serena, right? Come on now.
Yeah.
Too funny. Now to switch to something kind of more serious. I don't know if you saw this, but Baltimore Orioles, they kind of got into it, Mike, on Twitter with some fans. After they basically had to ask everyone online on Twitter and Facebook who can't respect their diverse fan base to unfollow them on Twitter. So I don't know if you saw this, but the team tweeted a happy Kwanzaa message Tuesday, the start of the week-long holiday that honors African-American culture and traditions. But shortly afterward, they had to send this tweet, Mike. A common love of the Orioles is what brings everyone together on this page. We're happy to have a diverse fan base of the best fans in the world. If you cannot show respect for others, kindly unfollow us. There is no room for hate or bigotry on our social media or in our ballpark. But basically, I mean, it was crazy, some of the tweets that they got back. I mean, some people were saying the holiday was invented in 1966 and its founder claimed that Jesus was psychotic. Yeah, you promote that. And then other people, you know, were saying it was made by a communist. I mean, it was so many things. And then somebody said that it was a celebration for racists. They will not partake in this poke in the eye of God. Good luck on Judgment Day. Like, these are real tweets, Mike, that I'm reading back from some of the fans. So basically, I think they just thought they were tweeting Happy Kwanzaa because they had tweeted, you know, Happy Hanukkah, Merry Christmas, I guess trying to cover all the different religions. But for some reason, when they tweeted Happy Kwanzaa, I mean, they got so many negative, nasty responses. I'm just kind of curious. I mean, what do you think this kind of says about, I guess, baseball fans, you know? And I mean, do you think we've really come forward if we're still seeing this on social media, or is this just Twitter trolls, you know, getting finger happy and, you know, tweeting away, trying to create more division?
Oh yeah, I mean, definitely social media right now has really created more division, you know, in our society right now, because everybody, you know, has a negative opinion, and there's like so many, I'm not saying miserable people, but for person to write some of the nasty stuff that goes on that I see, I'm like, you can't be happy with yourself if you feel this way.
Right.
And it's just sad. It's really sad that, you know, I was just talking to my wife about this, that, mm-hmm. you know, when you're a person that, you know, you have some type of stature about yourself,
right.
you have to watch every word that you say, because somebody's going to take it and either make it something negative or racist.
Yeah, twist it.
It's like,
mm-hmm.
yeah, and it's just crazy. And it's just like, what is this world really coming to? And it's actually kind of scary.
Right.
And I'm hoping that at some point that we can just get better, because, like I said, that was an innocent tweet just trying to cover all bases. I know
right.
he wasn't expecting that type of backlash. He's like, wow, all we're
no.
trying to do is just say Happy Kwanzaa.
And, and they were one of the few teams
know?
To say that.
Yeah.
So I'm sure they didn't think,
so
you know,
it's one of those
negative.
Things that, you know, there's just so much negativity coming out these days. Like, wow, they've, you know, they try to, you know, something positive turn into something negative.
Right.
So it's just kind of crazy.
Oh, I completely agree, you know. And, ugh, I just hate, you know, I hate that I saw that. But hopefully it's a learning lesson for everyone. Because as I said, I mean, I think it's about bringing us all together and not further separating us. But I think the way the Baltimore Orioles handled it, I thought the tweet they sent back was very professional, very classy. And hopefully, you know, they won't have to keep dealing with that. But I always like to end my show, Mike, with my Woman Crush Everyday segment. And I'm actually, after we talked about Serena Williams, I'm going to say she is going to be my Woman Crush Everyday just for coming back and all the amazing thing that she's doing. But, I mean, she continues to inspire. All. If it's not setting records, she's showing us after, baby, you can come right back, you know, and get to basically be at the top level. And, you know, don't ever let anything stop you from continuing to chase your dreams. You know, because the question now with her has always been, she's getting older, but guess what? She's still winning. So I think she continues to inspire us all. Serena, she just keeps leading the way, Mike.
Oh, I agree 100% with everything you said. It's just awesome. You know, this makes me feel, she even made me feel guilty where I'm sitting here saying, oh, I have a little, you know, snag injury, like when my calf is tight and I'm making an excuse on not to work out. I'm watching her. I'm like, wow, this woman just gave birth to a new life.
Wow.
And
I mean, she's
back.
She's
so
beautiful.
She's just letting me know, like, no excuses and just, you know, work hard for your dreams. And
right.
She's shown that, hey, you know, hey, when my age and my body size, I'm going to keep it going. And
yeah.
It's awesome.
She's inspiring. She's so inspiring. And Mike, before I let you go, because it was such a blast having you on, what's next for you? What are you currently doing? I'm just curious, and I know everybody curious listening, to know what's next for Mike Sweeney.
Actually, like I said, I'm still, playing and getting ready for the Big Three coming up this year.
It's coming back up.
It comes back this summer, next June. So we have to go to, and I think sometime in April, they're going to do a redraft and things like that. So just start getting ready for that. I'm still going out speaking at schools and corporate events, sharing my message. And I'm trying to change, the dynamic on mental health and change the stigma. So just doing that and raising little ones, and that's about it.
Nice. I know that keeps you busy. Well, thank you again so much for joining me on today's show. It was a blast to have you. And I know every Georgetown person is going crazy right now that we had you, having a legend back in the building. And for everyone listening, And for everyone listening, that's a wrap for this edition of Listening with K&N. I hope you had fun, learned something, and of course jumped in on the K&N bandwagon. Be sure to listen in each and every week for new shows that drop online on Tuesdays and Thursdays at FoxSports1340AM.com and KelseyNicoleNelson.com. If that's not enough, the show is available for downloads on iTunes and Google Play. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review. Your feedback and support matter. Until next week, enjoy the sports world, smile, and don't take your fantasy sports too seriously, because there's always another play.
Advertisement and sponsorship opportunities are now available for Listen In with KNN on AM 1340 and 96.9 FM, Fox Sports Radio, WHAP. Become a part of the hottest new sports talk show in the nation's capital, fueled by one of the largest national sports radio networks. Hosted by award-winning sports personality Kelsey Nicole Nelson, Listen In with KNN brings listeners the latest trending topics in sports and in entertainment each week. So if you're looking to maximize your brand's exposure alongside the best local and national sports coverage, plus special live editions of Listen In with K&N from venues around the region, email Kelsey at kelseynelson@foxsports1340am.com. For more information about Listen In with K&N, visit foxsports1340am.com. Follow Kelsey on Twitter at TheRealKNelson. Join the movement across other social media platforms at #ListenInWithKNN. This has been Listen In with KNN. On AM 1340 and 96.9 FM, Fox Sports Radio.